Hey everyone, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. Whether you've lost a key employee mid-project, or you've had cash flow tighten overnight, or you found yourself back on the freaking tools when you thought you were past all that stuff, you probably know what it's like to have a goal go sideways. How do you handle this? How do you keep going? Today's guest has some answers to this, backed by data and a ton of lived experience. Mandy Gill, a broadcaster, endurance athlete, and now the author of Reset with Resilience, has developed an app called Hooked on Healthy Habits. As a result, she's created one of the world's largest data sets on habit building. Utilizing what she's learned in her book, Mandy lays out a framework for navigating what we call like the messy middle. When things go sideways, distractions pile up, and self-doubt starts to creep in, or what I like to call anxiety. You're going to learn why courage beats comfort every single time, how to set goals that actually stick, and how to make sure you show up when things really get tough. So let's get into it. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Mandy, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
I am stoked to talk to you. You have done a lot, and we're going to get into just managing emotions, setting goals, going after big targets. You yourself, you summited the Himalayan peaks. You ran a 100K ultra, which it sounded like it was in the desert. Was that true? That was insane.
Some of them have been in very various places.
Okay. You're a broadcaster. You're big on the, I guess, whatever you want to call it, the scene of British Columbia. A lot of people know your name. And then you ended up writing a book, Reset with Resilience, which I think our show producer, even I, after I had read it, spoke to a lot of us. And I thought it was a really important topic for all of our contractors to listen to. But before we get into that, can you just give us a bit of a highlight reel? Like, what have you been up to? What's led you to writing this book? And yeah, what are you trying to achieve through it?
Thanks, Danny. You know, I've always been intrigued since I've been like a child about what we can do as humans to continue pushing ourselves forward and to continue evolving and just seeing that growth, but not in a burnout type of lens, in a consistent, obviously title like Resetting with Resilience. It is consistent when we look at what allows us to achieve those next goals. And so thank you very much for that thoughtful introduction. I really, like, from an athletic standpoint, as somebody who loves ultra trail marathons, 100 plus kilometers. Yes, I know the word loves is like, people are like, are you serious? And there is so much serenity out there. And that's where I find my peace. And then, you know, going and climbing Himalayan peaks in Nepal, one of the world's most toughest peaks, Ama de Blom was my most recent. And it ended up actually not being a positive mountaineering experience, which we can get into. And I think why I bring that up is because it's not in the goals themselves that I find the most insightful. For me, it's in what actually happens when we have a setback and what do we do with that setback? I think a lot of people can relate to being like, okay, well, this wasn't for me, and just kind of detouring and not actually following through. Whereas for me and my soul, it was like, let's figure out how to get back on track and achieve this even better.
Listening to your book, there was some segments in it that you really spoke to me. You got into just like the early 3 a.m. mornings, being at the station by 5 a.m., showing up to broadcast for 4 hours, the adrenal rush that was going up and down through your body. Can you just give us a snapshot into that? Because I feel like a lot of what we're talking about in the beginning of the show is just managing anxiety in pursuit of a goal. Can you just walk us through what you're going through and how you worked through some of that?
All I want to say for anyone that's listening that's feeling that, I think that is like the entrepreneurial roller coaster, wherever you're at in your career. And so you're not alone. And Danny, it's interesting. Like, I mean, I sat in the library for 2.5 years, truthfully putting this book together that I can be so proud to share with you and any of the listeners. And at the same time, it really was going through like the pitfalls of what it is like to manage anxiety and go through those moments and recognize that it's okay to talk about it and we're all in it together. And so, you know, it's interesting as we use the word like anxiety, because I think at 2:30 in the morning when an alarm goes off, it is just like, I'm awake. Okay, great. This is like the first step, right? And this is all I really need to do is just to get my butt into the radio station. And I would drive in there, arrive for 3 o'clock in the morning, cut out, you know, every single opportunity that was the latest news to make sure it was on the back of the room wall. We were a top 40 radio morning show. So even if we were talking about, you know, the latest Lady Gaga story or whatever it might be in celebrity world, we were making sure that the listeners were waking up 3 million million on average every morning is what our minds told us. And it's like, it didn't matter what was going on in my life. The moment that I walked through that door into the studio, I called it the doorway effect, because it could be, you know, troubles at home that I was feeling. I could have been feeling stress in a different, you know, thought process for the next day. Not only was I co-host, but I was a producer. And that door, the moment that I walked through that door, I just knew what mattered, what was happening in the studio. And that's a really hard differentiation to make, because we're human, right? And we carry things with us wherever we go. But I found that that mindset very much so allowed me to like fully focus in and fully be present. And with how many distractions we have in today's day and age, that's a hard thing to do. But it really, it helped me get through it.
The reason I ask this is I find, so I spent a lot of years coaching franchises and I used to hire them. So I used to interview them on the ability to do certain things within, you know, selling, with their ability to set goals, all this stuff. The number one trait that I found made or break somebody's success in a year was their ability to handle stress in pursuit of a goal. We called it fundamental was the actual term we called it when we would interview for it. But it was so fascinating because I'd be like, you could be the smartest son of a bitch ever, but if you don't have the ability to do what even you just spoke to, like, you're not going to get through this. You shouldn't be in business, if we're very honest. And I'm just curious, like, what is it that causes some people to kind of get through this? Some people burn right out along the way. Like, how do you move through this? And what is it inside of people that causes this?
Yeah, it's interesting because just what you explained right there, I feel like is high performance, right? Sometimes we actually don't think of that because automatically we can get set back in stress mode and in burnout. But really, at the end of the day, it's about managing stress and those types of emotions and the thoughts. I am a very firm believer it has nothing to do with genetics. Like, we are not born resilient. We are not born, you know, without burnout, of course. But it's something that is a learned behavior, and it's truly not going full throttle in the beginning of every single moment to be like, I got to do this. It's going in stages, and it's having that setup and that support system. And truthfully, like, a system you are creating for yourself. Yes, it is your own responsibility when you get started, but it's your own responsibility to also recognize, you know, when burnout is something that you're beginning to flirt with. And so when you were hiring for that question, with that question, I also think to myself, like, I just love to know some people's answers, because when I was starting off as an entrepreneur over, you know, 15 almost years ago, I was like, I'll do anything. What do you need? All of those things. And like, we have to learn how to say no, or else we're going to end up exactly as you explained, burnt out.
The younger me would always say, put on my boots, let's go, right? Put on my big boy pants, let's go. And I would just do anything and everything until the bags in my eyes are down to here. And I just was like, I guess I made it, but it didn't feel very good. And I feel like as I'm getting into my 30s, hopefully 40s soon here, I'm like, there's a different way to approach this. Can you just articulate that a little more? Like, how do you approach this so it's not all in or nothing? I saw a guy on Facebook the other day. He's like in the hospital with bruises on his face. He got in some kind of car accident. He's like, I'm still working. And half the group is like cheering him on. And the other half is like, dude, take a rest. How do you navigate some of these moments when you're at max stress and you're not giving up, but you're also not just like hard charging and ignoring every signal in your body?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. That's a good explanation. I think it's being able to take a pause and recognize where you are in that process. Like, deep in your gut, we all know when it's like, okay, I'm doing way too much. I feel way too stressed. The way I'm reacting towards my employees, my family, all of those types of things, I'm not eating. Like, we know what that feels like, right? And so it's the ability to take the pause in those moments. And I use the term like reset and recover. So recognize, like, yes, we might have this huge goal to build a business, you know, and I so genuinely believe in people's ability to do that. But where my concern comes in is when there's not a proper system set up to hold you accountable to what that process actually looks like. And so that's actually different for every single one of us, because each of us has different, you know, abilities in the way that we show up and the way that we respond to certain things. But not burning yourself out comes right down to recognizing, like, you need to take those moments to pause, to reflect, to reset. Again, reset with resilience is exactly what I went with, because we have that permission to reset every single one of those moments. But oftentimes, if somebody comes to the point where they're like, I'm absolutely burnt out, it's like, okay, well, this wasn't for me.
I just got back from a 4-day men's retreat in Washington, and it was so the right thing to do because we have just been going, especially with the relaunch of me starting the show and all the things going on in our business right now. And I'm just like, I need to be going 12 to 14 hours a day sometimes. And I've put this in place to stop me because I knew I wasn't going to do it on my own. And I had this accountability of like, I've paid for this thing. I need to be there. I need some prep. I need to get there. And I walked out of it 4 days later feeling like I'd had just like this like bath where like all stress and all anxiety and all things just washed away. And it wasn't easy to take away, but it was the impact will be like amplified over the next 2 months, 3 months as a result. And I encourage anyone listening, like, I get it. We all go through this stuff. And sometimes our reaction is to actually grip harder and go faster. And it's just like, you actually need to do the opposite. You need to let go and have some grace and peace for yourself to reflect.
And Danny, I don't think you could have provided a better example, to be honest. And that's where, like, I know I'm the podcast guest, but don't mind as I like jump into broadcast mode and interview you on that. Because what my question is yes, you have the accountability, obviously, of paying, signing up. People knew that you were accountable to go. But what was it like the couple days leading up? Like, were you realizing like either A, I've got to delegate and I have to have people to support me, or B, I'm going to try to get everything done, but then those 4 days don't necessarily feel as relaxed because you've gone full throttle to get everything done in advance?
It's a process of letting go, of being able to accept that like I'm only going to be able to do as much as I can do and I can't move mountains. And so there's some things that are of high importance that do need to be on the top of the priority list. And there's other things that are just nice to do's that people would like to get me, like to get things done by me. And I just have to put on the priority list top to bottom and then just do as many as I can. And when I'm done, I'm done. And it's amazing too how many things get done for you when you just don't do them. I hate to say it, but like, especially the lower priority things, there's like questions certain people have, there's slides somebody wanted me to draw up. And all I had to say was, hey, I'm going to be gone for 4 days. So just let me know if you can take care of it or not. And most of that stuff got done while I was gone. Most of those questions got answered. Now there was high priority stuff. I got those things done, but I prioritized and I let rest be. I only have so much time in a day. So
that is so, I love that you're able to share that with listeners, because when we think of high performance, we do have to realize that we are not meant to do those smaller tasks on a daily basis. We have to prioritize what is most important and get that done first and foremost. And then oftentimes those little things that actually feel really big, they're not as important, but they can feel very overwhelming.
Yeah. And we like to get them done because they're quicker and they give us a little hit of like, we got it done. We get to check, but it's like, didn't really move the needle. So let's talk to
it. I am guilty. I will be the first to admit it. And it takes a lot of discipline to be like, no, that's actually not the task today. But you have to have that conversation with yourself.
Totally. So let's get into this. You already alluded to this. You wrote a book. It's called Reset with Resilience. Can you just talk through the concept of why that book is titled the way it is? What is this concept of resetting with resilience?
Yeah. You know, the subtitle of the book is A Guide to Greatness When Your Goals Go Sideways. And I think that's really the best way to dive into it, is just saying that I can't think of any other individual that I have ever had a conversation with on this planet that has never said to me, I had a goal and it went sideways, you know, and it is just, it's inevitable. It's engraved in us. We want to achieve things, but sometimes, and most times, those goals are going to go sideways. And so where the term reset with resilience came from is I knew it actually was when I had come back with my husband from Nepal, doing one of our climbs out there, gone and summited Labuche, which was 6,200 meters above sea level, and headed over from there to go do Ama de Blom. And I remember, we can get into it if there's any interest, but having acute mountain sickness and having to descend down from the mountain that we had gone to climb, 6,800 meters, my husband continued. And that was a conversation we had well in advance and decided upon if one of us was healthy, the other continues. And so when I was descending, I just remember having like this full sense of emotion, but also recognizing like, I don't want anybody to ever feel like things that they don't achieve in that moment are the end of it, you know, like the end of the world. It really does play into entrepreneurship, into athleticism. We have that ability to reset and use those tools to be able to do so. And sometimes that looks like, you know, celebrating the micro moments, recognizing the moments that, you know, things that we can even be grateful for, recalibrating and getting back to what it is that is most important.
What do you see people default to when they don't do this? They go down the mountain, they go down the path of failure. What happens next? Because I see this with a lot of people. What is the general pattern when you just mentally beat yourself up? And what happens after that?
Self-doubt. lack of confidence. And I think it's the inability to believe in yourself. Like, I think that there's a really big piece of that. Like, when you believe that you're capable of something, when I look at, an app that I created out in 2016 called Hooked on Healthy Habits, there's over 10,000 clients that we've seen through this in the last 9 years. And when I think of Hooked on Healthy Habits, one of the biggest things that is prominent when we look at resetting with resilience is having hope. Mm-hmm. And so having hope comes down to, you know, even just like, hey, I can get through the day today and handle this big task, or, you know, I can summit this mountain and be able to do it literally one step at a time because the air is so thin and I'm having difficulty breathing. So when I think about it, I think of like the term hope, and we all have that. But what wagers when we don't believe in ourselves is we actually have a lack of hope. And that's our first pitfall to resetting with resilience, is not having hope.
I call it, my version of this is like the limiting beliefs. You form, yes, limiting beliefs, and you see people who in their lives have formed them, and they will never get through them again unless they have to go do it themselves. No one can convince them otherwise. That doesn't work for me. I can't hire that many employees. That won't work. That kind of industry doesn't work for me. We can't make money doing this. It's now become like truth in their mind.
Definitive
truth. Yes. And it blocks, yeah, them from any future progress in that one area. And you talk about this other way of doing it where it's like, hey, the result may not have actually come the way you wanted it to be, but you're resetting with resilience through hope. Can you just give us a bit more on this? Like, because I do tend to beat myself up, and then I'm like, I need to shift my brain to finding like the path through. What are some steps people can take when they're walking down after a missed goal and they need to pick themselves back up?
Yeah, there's a chapter in the book that's called First Attempt in Living. And the most important piece of First Attempt in Living is that every single letter of those four words equals fail. And so recognizing that failure is not a hard stop. Failure is the opportunity to look at it from a perspective that this is literally just your first attempt in living. And that, we have to practice those tools of adversity and recognizing that not everything is going to go as perfectly planned, but knowing that it is okay to take a moment to reset and show back up and take accountability for that.
Yeah. And you also wrote this concept, choosing courage over comfort. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I read that and I was like, yeah, what does it look like to actually choose comfort? Because I think I probably do sometimes. It's the easier path. And then there's the choosing courage. And just speak to each one a little bit and what that concept even is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Danny, I'm going to ask you, like, conversations that are easy, that's comfort, right? Like, it's so... We know those moments where, you know, we have to have a tough conversation about work, or we have to have a tough conversation about, you know, the income that's coming through, or maybe like there's a backlog of, you know, supplies that are coming in. And it's so easy to avoid those conversations. I will say that I catch myself in those moments where I'm like, I can wait till tomorrow. And I'm like, no, don't wait till tomorrow. Like, that is just comfort. Like, have the courage to ask the question, because oftentimes it's like, it is actually kind of like you talked about your priority list. Like, have the courage to reach out to those people when you have those low priority items and say to them, hey, I'm going to be gone for 4 days. Does this need to get done? If so, can someone else, you know, execute this? Like, have the courage to have those conversations. Because again, if we don't, it's just comfortable. And on the inside of my wrist for way too long now, it says, you know, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. And it's a tattoo that I have. And I actually saw it like as most randomly in a farmer's market. And I was like, this is a roadmap for my life. And I know that life begins at the end of my comfort zone. So just kind of like that acronym of saying like fail, first attempt in living, we have to be willing to step past what is most comfortable, which usually what lives in the middle of courage and comfort, which we've done years and years of studies on through Hooked on Healthy Habits app, is fear.
Right.
And it's just the fear of moving that dial either towards comfort or either towards courage.
I find it's like, and this isn't just me, this is people I work with, but like when you're high stress, you're low in intelligence, you're making snap decisions, you're avoiding conflict like the plague, and that adds to the stress. And you're sitting there, and I don't know if everybody remembers this, but when I was younger, I used to sit there at midday, max stress, customers are calling me, but the paint projects I'm doing are going awry, profits down, and I'm watching Maury. I was like, I need to pick up the phone. I know. But I was like, I need to pick up the phone and do all this stuff. And I'm like, but I don't want to. And it's adding. And it's the ability to just say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk out this door. I'm going to get in the truck and I'm going to walk towards the issue. And it's like, I had to convince myself to get up first. Then I had to convince myself to sit in the truck. Then I had to convince myself to get to the job site. And by the time I'm having the conversation, things start to actually feel better because I'm finally dealing with the issue versus just watching Maury. But
well, and interestingly, I was going to say where we can tell that dial is between comfort and courage is using the gauge, like, do you feel alive?
Right.
And with your example, Danny, of going and doing the golf trip for 4 days, that obviously comfort would have been just like staying in the routine of work and doing those 4 days of work. It took courage without question to like say, I need 4 days away to reset. But right, what you just explained to me when we had that, you know, talk about that experience is you were like, I feel like I had a bath. Like I literally came back fully refreshed. And I think what we can lean into is knowing like those moments where you choose courage, like we actually like in our gut, in our soul, we like feel more alive, right? And I don't know how else to explain it than to say like, it's a feeling. And yes, we can't overthink the steps to get there. Just like you explained, get out of the house first, get into the truck, arrive to the site. If you tell yourself that whole sequence before getting in to the truck or even putting your clothes on to go to work, you're in a battle, right? And so it's just that one step at a time process.
Got it. Okay. Let's get into some of the goal setting stuff. So you in your book, you also have a section on just like goal setting tips and how to make sure you're actually tracking towards progress, towards a bigger idea. And there's different principles you have in here. And I picked a few of them that I thought would be good to go over. So let's just start with this first one. Proper planning beats poor performance.
Proper planning beats poor performance, I feel like is like the recipe for my life and like all the ways that I've probably failed in my process of like entrepreneurship and then obviously like adventuring, mountaineering, whatever it might be. And like what has actually created that failure is proper planning. And what did that result in? Poor performance. And proper planning beats poor performance. It was such an important chapter for me to include in the book because I can largely see the differentiator when we truly like reverse engineer a goal, right? So like, tell me what your dream goal is, and then let's work backwards from it. And we have to start from that process because if we don't, oftentimes people actually get in their own way by just starting off by being like, oh yeah, but that would be really neat, but that's way too many steps. And this actually came from one of my, I'm really grateful, an incredible woman in leadership about 15 years ago that I met in one of my career paths. And she was like, we need to work largely with the goal at hand, and then we need to reverse it. And so as I tell you, everybody that's been through the app, that's every single time that we've done that, whether it is a, you know, a contractor that we are working with, whether that be somebody as a consultant in a large company, we take the goal and we work backwards. But what do we make sure that we do? We plan properly throughout every single one of those steps to ensure like we can't plan everything perfectly, but we can do our darn best to ensure that we're set up for success.
Yeah, this is the concept I would use, like strategic planning. So it's like, what's the big 3-year, 5-year goal? Let's break it down to this 1-year goal. Then let's break it down to the quarterly goal. And then let's actually break down this quarterly goal to like weekly tasks and like things we need to go get done. And then that way, when we're working on something for 2 hours on a Tuesday, it's actually directly relating to what we're doing this quarter, which was relating to what we're doing this year, to what we're relating to doing in 3 years. And I find that like, we vastly underestimate how much we can get done in 3 years. But if we break it down to these little chunks, we can just get done like this one little thing today. And suddenly we do that every single day and things slowly build up to be the reality of what we set up years ago.
They do. And what's most important about that, and you actually might lead into a question of this accord, is things are not always going to go as planned. Again, hence like a guide to greatness when your goals go sideways. What is the most important piece to fall back on? The plan that you've created.
So you're just referencing, you're basically saying, hey, this isn't going to go exactly the way I thought it, but what was the next step I was trying to achieve to get back on place? Or explain that more. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I think of goal setting and it's something that actually as like somebody who works within this specialty, goal setting kind of like gives me a cringe at times because I'm like, it can be kind of like airy fairy, you know, and we all know that we have goals that we want to achieve, but what's most important is recognizing that the why of what you're doing, when you have clarity with minimal distractions and problems going on, which is why it's so important. I'm going to use your term, strategic planning. You need to have that strategic plan. You need to have that system of proper planning beats poor performance when things are going to go sideways. Because what are you going to rely on is going back to that system, taking a look and saying, you know what, today felt like it went totally sideways, or this week, maybe it's even this month, right? We've got tariffs. We've got all of these different things that are, you know, putting pressure on individuals. But we have to have that bigger plan so that we know when our why is very, very structured in a strong foundation, that our goals can waver a tad, but that why does not change.
Let's talk about this why, because I actually, the next thing I had in here was like, make it bigger, or make it about the bigger thing. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of us at this point, hopefully have heard of Simon Sinek, start with why. I think we understand the general concept. Let's just explain it for a second. And then I do have a really interesting question for you about this, but what is a why and what is not a why?
Yeah. I'm going to go with the word impact. You know, like, where are you when you think of what you want to establish as your why? You know, hone into what those values are to you as a human being and what impact that you want to create in this world. I use the term in the book, like, devotion beats motivation, right? Because oftentimes motivation, I'll use the term, you don't need to feel good to get going. You need to get going to give yourself a chance at feeling good, because motivation can very quickly dissipate. As much as I sound excited to get into the trails, and don't get me wrong, I love it. But like, when I hit kilometer 80, when I hit kilometer 90, my motivation is non-existent. But what I need to have is devotion. I need to have a reason as to why I'm doing this. What is my bigger why? Why am I out here? And I've used that in business. I highly recommend, you know, in the book, I actually talk about how we've referenced studies where charity events, people oftentimes find like their most incredible potential athletically when they involve themselves in a charity event, because they're like devoting it to something different, right? So like, cure cancer, whatever it might be that they're doing. And they like realize that all of a sudden they can bike 240 kilometers across two provinces. And they're like, but I didn't think I could do that before. But they've devoted it to something bigger than themselves.
Yeah, you're basically speaking to what we were talking about earlier in the talk, which is like, when you go through the hardest of times, if your why isn't real, you're going to be asking yourself that. I remember asking myself this one very big question in my brain, which is like, why the f*** am I doing what I'm doing? And if I don't have a good answer, if it's just because I want to make more money, because I wanted to have, you know, time off on a beach somewhere, it's all superficial. None of it works.
Yes.
But when you're like, yeah, because this is like, this was the thing that I grew up doing. This was the thing that I, like, for me, for Breakthrough Academy, I was like, this was the thing that brought me from this like slack-jawed 18-year-old kid that was probably going to end up like in the drug scene or doing something terrible. I ended up being coached by these amazing people, showed me how to run a business and changed my entire life. And I was like, the only thing I can imagine doing as an adult is being able to do that with others. A, selfishly, I get to relive that experience for myself, but I get to bring so many people along with me. And so when I'm going through some of this hard stuff, I'm just like, why am I doing what I'm doing? And it's nothing to do with my balance sheet. It's nothing to do. It's that like, there's a journey that my life was built to be on, and I have to go do this, because if I don't, I won't be me. I won't be doing the one thing I was built to do. And that why carries me. And I find that with entrepreneurs, some of them, they rush through, especially they draw their strategic plans up and they rush through this why exercise. And they're like, okay, well, it's, you know, I'll have a better life for me and my family. I'm like, no, like, what does that mean? Like, go deeper.
Give us specifics. Yeah. Like, I want you to feel it. And just like, even when you said that feeling of you being mentored, right? Like, that is a feeling that, you know, only you can A, explain, but also B, give. And that like lives in your values. And so I love that you explain that, because it is so true. Like, why do I do what I do? I want people to feel the best possible version of themselves. You know, like, yes, it's great. I went and spoke with the U.S. Navy last year on a stage. Great. You know, wonderful opportunity. You get all these incredible things. And it's a huge highlight in my career without question. And I use that as an example because it was a fabulous paying event. But at the end of the day, like, I just want every single one of those individuals in that audience to feel like they are capable of taking one step forward towards a huge challenge that has been standing in their way, that they're like, I don't think I can do that. And I'm like, let me show you how.
It's often we do unto others as things that have been impacting us in our earlier lives. Is there any like just specific reason for that? When you look back at your whole life, what's led you to the path you're on today?
Hugely. Absolutely. I mean, I think of this one incredible, my parents divorced when I was really young. I was 5, my sister was 3, and we've got a wonderful family dynamic, stepmom, stepdad, dad, mom. We all do Christmases together with all of our big families and everything. And they put me through a program to like speak to somebody, even regardless of like, you know, the young age that I was at. And I remember this one therapist noticed that I was like withholding. It honestly could be used the term, at that time it wasn't presented this way, but now that I see it, I was self-sabotaging. And I was self-sabotaging, truthfully, like my own happiness and my own joy in my life. And I remember she said, so when are you going to start? And I sat there on her big comfy couch and I looked at like the crackling fireplace and I was like, Monday? You know, I was too young at that time to be like New Year's Day. But that's like, truthfully, what is it? The most common answer, even if it was February at the time, I couldn't wait to, you know, prolong it another 10 months. And she's like, what about now? And that never hit me until she really instilled it and was like, why can't you walk out of here today? And you literally use the decision to start now to stop self-sabotaging in whatever way that looks like. And it's something that I've carried on through my entire life because it's so easy. I mean, I work with clients all the time where it's like, okay, so when are you going to start? And I just like throw that question out there and they're like, Monday. And you know, it's Tuesday the week before. And I'm like, try again. And when you make that decision to start now, there is so much more power. Like you're not going to get more motivated than you are in that moment than to just start then.
It sounds like there's a lot of people that have built into you over the years and you push yourself beyond your boundaries. And now you're like, I just want to do this with other people now. I just want to show people
oh
the way.
Gosh.
And it probably yes. still pushes you to do this. I imagine. Oh,
I mean, I am out running with either my husband or my girlfriends at 5:30, 6 a.m. latest every morning in the trails, Monday to Friday. We have dogs that love to run, thank goodness. And my reason largely for being able to have that is accountability to show up to others. Right? And it's like, do I want to arrive? Half the time my teeth aren't brushed. I haven't had a cup of coffee. I'm not the best version of myself, but it's like I'm showing up because I value those relationships, because I value what it feels like to feel afterwards and to be fresh for the rest of the day. And I'm not saying you need to do that for yourself, because some people will say, you know, either A, they don't have the time, or B, they're evening people. But like whatever it is that feeds your soul, make that choice for yourself and do not like put it in your calendar. Don't let that time get touched. It's so imperative.
This is good. This leads into our last concept here, but we've talked a bit about proper goal setting, proper planning. We've talked a little bit about your why and resonating with that properly to drive the entire path forward. And then this last piece, you wrote the concept, teamwork makes the dream work. It's about accountability, but can you just expand on this a bit more? And what's important about it? Where can you get this wrong even a little bit with who you pick to have your accountability team? Like, can we speak to this a bit?
Big time. So I'm going to break it down into two different pieces. I think it's really important to have personal, like mentorship without question. So whether that looks like, it's interesting. I'm actually going to break it down in three ways. I think like friends, family, whatever it might be that are close to you, you've got those people that you know can hold you accountable, that you can come to, give them a goal of yours, share with them like, hey, you know what? Don't let me not do this within 1 year, right? Like that you can go to and you can have those conversations with. But I also think it's really important to have like that from a personal and professional standpoint. And I think that's where we oftentimes like we can choose the wrong individuals. And maybe it's like we don't lean into the professional help as well. We need to have those people that hold us accountable. And sometimes, and Danny, I think what's really important to mention is our careers evolve, right? Like, who is your accountability professionally that might be with you for X amount of years? It's okay to recognize that that relationship is going to evolve. That relationship's going to change. And to actually hold yourself accountable to recognizing when it might not be working anymore.
What does that look like? What are some signs when like your accountability process or partner, whoever you've chosen, it's not quite working? Because I'll say this, I've had this and it didn't quite work and I didn't want to recognize it because I kind of liked that I wasn't being actually held accountable anymore. So Sarah, just
can we just go back to the talk about comfort and courage?
Sure.
You know, like literally all that was, and I'm sure it wasn't cheap, but like you were literally, you know, investing in somebody to allow you to stay comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. It got easier over time and I was able to work around what they were expecting of me because then they stopped asking because I was just basically trying to get away with murder and I was just kind of, but I was paying for it. It was like the weirdest thing. Just for those listening, like, how do we recognize this? And how do we put this out in front of those listening where it's like, hey, look, here's what good accountability looks like. Here's when you know you probably need to make a bit of a shift.
Yeah, good accountability is you've got the communication of what is happening in your plan. Proper planning beats poor performance, and what that system actually looks like. And that individual is holding you accountable to those dates. With regards, it's interesting, Danny, because the book that I'm so proud of, Reset with Resilience, I had to have accountability for that. I had to have the accountability of handing something in to the publisher every 3 weeks, whether it be a new chapter, whether it be, you know, a type of diagram or a research study that I was putting together. I had to have that accountability. I definitely pushed the needle a couple of times where I was like, hey, we're at a race in Vegas. So sorry, Wi-Fi is not working. And it's like, no, okay, let's be honest. Like, you have to get that stuff done, you know? And I just remember like having that that moment where I was like, oh, I could probably push this a little bit. But like, I knew in that moment, that's not why I was paying the amount of money to write a book that I was writing. Nor did you know that feeling, or did you, you knew that feeling was not right when you were paying that person to coach you when it was just becoming comfortable.
Yeah, it's a maturity thing. I guess it's like knowing that you could make the excuse and then choosing not to. And if you choose too many times in a row, it's like, I could make this excuse and I keep choosing to do that. It's like, it probably isn't working anymore. And it might even be more of a you thing than a them thing, but you're starting to disengage from that level of accountability.
Yeah. And it's like a muscle, right? Yeah. Like if we give it energy, if we let it grow, it grows. And choosing accountability is extremely important. And I think there's so much more that we can dive into on that. But I really do just want to say, like, lean into the people that you know challenge you, because that's what creates change.
Yeah. You don't always need to love them, but they're going to do the right thing for you. My business partner's like this.
I don't think a lot of people love me that I work with all the time. But that's because they do love me afterwards, you know?
That's another interesting just trait, is when whoever's holding you accountable is more worried about you want like liking them than they are worried about you achieving your goals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have time for that. Yeah. No.
Let's get into this last section, which is also in your book, which you talk about building healthy habits. And as I was listening to this, I was just thinking about all the contractors and myself included. It's like, we're not doing our exercise routine in the morning. Someone's probably right now, while they're listening to this, driving through a drive-thru or looking at a McDonald's bag sitting on the side of their seat. Like,
yeah. Yes, you're not alone.
Yeah. What is the common mindset shift that people need in order to go from like wanting to make change to actually doing this change? Because I feel like, especially January, everyone sets these goals in January and they all fade off. How do you work people through this? Because wanting is one thing.
Be honest. Start before you're ready.
Explain what you mean by that.
You are sitting in the car right now. You have got the McDonald's bag beside you. It's like, okay, I'm going to start this tomorrow. No, it's start before you're ready, right? Like going back to that, like start now. Your body, we only get one. We are responsible for making sure, and I am a very firm believer that what we put into our body is the fuel that allows us to literally think, operate, do everything that we do at our core. And so, clarity in my world, I always think creates action, right? So like just having that sense of clarity and starting before you're ready, because we can't wait on motivation. And when I think about healthy habits, it's not introducing them all at once. It's saying, you know what? I haven't gone to the gym in 2 years because all I've done is build this business, but I want to go to the gym 3 days a week. And when you think of it like this, that's 3 hours. That's only 3 hours out of your entire week. If you go for 1 hour, if you go for half an hour, it's even less. But we have to break it down to recognize, like, at the end of the day, we all need to squat down to go to the bathroom. We need to have these muscles that work for us. We need to deadlift grocery bags. Like, these tools that we create in ourselves are so important, not just for the moment when things feel extremely stressful, but like for our mental health and our physical health for way later in our lives than we give ourselves credit to even think about.
There was a speaker somewhere, I can't remember where I got this from, but it was like starting small. It was kind of, and so this concept of like, start now, actually, I fully agree because you're always going to want to put it off. But then I was like, oh, you know what? I could do 15-minute workouts. I could just do a 15-minute sit-up, push-up thing on the carpet in my living room. I don't even have to go to the gym. Let me just start small. And it was like, it got me moving again. It got me like doing the things that I've been avoiding. And you can always work that up to 20 minutes and half an hour. And I think it was at our conference, but like he was even saying, like, even if it's a 1 minute thing, just like start one now. Minute. And it's yeah. 1 minute. Go.
And I think what's really great that you just mentioned, Danny, as an example, is you removed friction, mm-hmm. right? So like if you allowed yourself that 15 minutes to do sit-ups and push-ups on the carpet, you remove the friction of saying, I need to get in the car, I need to go to the gym. Make it not, don't complicate it.
You should have seen me. I had my feet up on my coffee table and I'm like doing like, but I'm just like, it's working.
Perfect. You do what you got to do. Nobody needs to see it, right? Like you just, but you know, you gave yourself that 15 minutes.
Totally. Let's talk about this concept, but like, how do you keep it going? Because I will say I didn't always keep it going. And I've had these fluctuations along the way. And a lot of us do where it's like, we've got this healthy habit, we're good. And then like usually production season is a big one. Production season hits and we just lose all of our healthy habits and just everything blows out of the water. We got to go do the business thing. How do we keep this moving? And how do you work with your clients to do this? Because this is a challenging part, I would imagine.
Yeah. There's a lot of seasonal clients that I work with consultant-wise. And I would say that this is like going in and surveying all of the individuals that are in the workplace. And it is truthfully the fact of the matter that they lose themselves and like who they are. They distance themselves from their families. They're not eating. They're not moving their bodies. And this is over the course of like 3 to 4 months, because again, it's seasonal. And what ends up happening is when things are finished, it actually takes them so much longer to get back into a good groove than if they just continued something for 15 minutes, for example, 3 days a week. And so what keeps people going, I genuinely believe, is that proper planning piece. Mm-hmm. And so it's putting it in and scheduling it. We, you know, maybe you're somebody who has a calendar that's virtual. Maybe you're someone who has it through an agenda, but it's like blocking off that time for yourself. I'll even be as direct to say, sometimes I will have a timer that goes off on my phone. That's just a repeat one that's in there. That's like, Mandy, you got to go do this right now because this is your time for you. And so I don't think it comes down to, you know, making sure that it completely overwhelms you, because nobody's going to keep up with something of that nature, but just putting in and like sprinkling in these little pieces. Again, I'm going to use the term 3 days a week that are going to allow you to feel more and more in tune with yourself. And what I often will say too is like, you'll make better decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're actually focused on things consistently over just like the ups and downs and the stops and the starts and all those things.
Yeah. We see that within like the data that we've been able to run. Like I think to myself, the term that I'll use is like clear the noise, because anybody that's listening to this might say, okay, well, do you have kids running around? Are there 3 kids at any given time? And, you know, do you have 7 phone calls going off? And it's like, all of us have different versions of what our distractions are, but all of us have the choice to minimize that distraction as best as possible for whatever that amount of time is that you might have, 20 minutes, you name it, but doing something for yourself within that time frame, because what the result is afterwards genuinely is clarity.
Yeah. I have one final question for you, and this is about leadership. So we've talked a little bit about stress management and anxiety and how to work through all this. We've talked a bit about goal setting strategically and also like mindset wise, how to have a good why. And we also just talked about having better personal habits. But they all round around this idea of like being able to move people forwards towards a goal, right? And so I think about this, a lot of our team members, a lot of like our contractors, the people we work with, we all got goals, which is great. But we've also got a ton of people behind us that need to go achieve these goals with us. And they've got their own micro goals within our world. What are just some things you can do to support your team member if you're leading somebody who's behind? They're struggling. What are some good tips just to like lead people that are on your team that are just like, they're missing and they're not having a good time? And they need your support.
I'm going to go in with the first term, like show them you care.
Right.
The moment that we open up that connection piece, they can either choose to respond to it or to not. That is their decision. But as somebody who is a leader, the first job for you to do is to show that you care. And that is just opening up for a regular everyday conversation. There's a keynote that I just delivered in Toronto last month. They've got an incredible team of like 500 construction workers that are sitting there. And I looked out into the open and I said, tell me one of your most valuable conversations that you have had with an individual in this workplace. And I looked at the vice president of the company. And in front of all 500 of those employees, he said, it was not talking about anything to actually do with work. It was connecting on a whole different level about what is happening within his family right now and what he's into. And apparently he was just loving hunting with his son. And that was like the pivotal moment of that connection piece. And then that being able to prelude into a conversation and say, okay, tell me how I can support you. What's going on at work? And so as a leader, I genuinely feel it is our job to connect, sometimes professional, but also personal, with these individuals that might be struggling so that we can get a better lens into showing that we are also human, right? Like leaders, I remember growing up as a kid, like leaders are scary.
Yeah.
They can be.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they hold the position of authority. Actually, this is one thing I've been learning over years is like the larger our organization gets, the more team members we have, the more authority I have without even realizing it. And I didn't ask for the authority. It's just it's perceived. And so the words that come out of my mouth directly impact their mood and their behaviors and their day and their week. And I may have said like four things just in passing, not realizing that that set a tone for their entire week. What you're referencing right now is something I think about. It's, we have this thing called GSNR, goal setting and review meetings. And so we do that with our team. We teach our members how to do it. It's kind of like how you do the management structure up and down the organization. And to do that, you have to prep. So you have to go into like looking through their numbers. They have to go through like their week and what they hit and what they missed and why. And it's really easy to just get into the problem solving mode of all of that. Okay, we're behind on the goal. We need to get two more leads. Here's what you need to do. And you're kind of ready for that conversation. And what you're saying is like, actually like delete all of those things you just prepped and just go in and find out how they're doing and what's going on with their personal life, with their professional life, how they're feeling. Start there and then you can grow out of that. Is that kind of what you're referencing?
That is spot on. And as a leader, it is our job to be able to see those moments actually of opportunity, because we do want to go in and we want to fix things. We're great problem solvers. We, you know, see numbers and we're like, okay, let me try to fix this for you. I mean, how many times does my husband walk in at the end of his day and he tells me something and I'm like, oh, well, could you fix it like this? And he's like, I don't want to fix it. I just need you to listen. And, you know, it's it really just comes down to like being able sometimes to like see through the actual words coming out and to know that we've got something greater here. And we have to like see through those cracks as leaders. And we have to be able to recognize that like they need to see us as human as much as we do them. Yeah. And as much as like a professional position is what created this opportunity for that connection, we have to be able to meet on both playing fields. And I think where that answers the end of your question, truthfully, is you'll never know what actually is going to come out from what that personal conversation might bring, just like that connection piece of showing you care.
Yeah, I find if you just stay transactional, that's what you get back is transactional relationships. And those eventually die out over time and then people turn over and things just move on. And you never really see the full potential in people until you reach in and actually find
them. It's a
mirror,
for sure.
Yeah. Man, this was great. Is there anything else? Any other just final thoughts or words of advice for all our listeners who are all running around? We're doing our best to kind of keep our businesses alive. We're going through the ups and downs. Some of us are at the highest of highs. Some of us are at the lowest of lows. And some of us are just trying to have a normal day. Any other thoughts or advice for us?
There's a term that I use most frequently, and it is, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Right.
And so just knowing deep down, like acknowledging that the process is not easy, every single moment is not going to be easy, but like having the courage to show up, to do the proper thing, to recognize that like that's where growth lives is just in those baby steps, one step at a time. And just believing in your ability. And again, kind of like referencing back to what do we see as one of the biggest drivers of resetting with resilience is hope. And just believing that you are on that right path to making a stronger impact. And whatever that value system is to you, you have that control. And so just keep showing up.
It's amazing. And maybe you've seen this in your own life. It seems like things take so long to get done and you miss goals and you're off track and you're beating yourself up. But when you actually look back 2 or 3 years and where you've come, it's incredible. And actually, I would encourage everybody, including you, Mandy, myself too, like take some time this week and just think about like, where have you come in the last 3 or 4 years? And if that's impressive, chances are looking forward, even though it looks challenging and kind of ridiculous and you're going to screw up a whole bunch, chances are you're going to have that experience again 3 years from now with the amount of progress you make. So
absolutely. And, you know, even just to like relate on the human piece, the book that we're here talking about, Reset with Resilience, A Guide to Greatness When Your Goals Go Sideways, was meant to come out September of last year. It came out January 7th of this year, 2025. But in September of 2024, I cannot even begin to tell you the professional help that I instilled to stop beating myself up, that I did not make my deadline to have it released last September.
Right. And how much did it end up mattering?
It could not have had a bigger impact across Canada and all into the States than it could have possible, because obviously the election things had happened, all of these types of pieces, something I could never have dreamed up, Danny. And yet at the same time, sometimes it's just about trusting that process and having hope. And the impact that it has never would have had the impact that it did in September.
Life has a way of kind of working itself out. Eh? Even when you make all these plans, the world kind of kicks you and you're like, why are we doing this? And then 4 years later, you're like, well, that made a lot more sense than what I was thinking. Yes. So
like stick to that why, right? Remember what's important. Yeah.
So good, Mandy. Where can people reach out to you? How do they get your book if they want to read it? How do people follow up?
Absolutely. So, books available everywhere you buy books as well, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Indigo, Chapters, you name it. The Audible version is also available. MandyGill.com is my website. You can reach out any questions that you have. I feel like I've heard everything. So please don't feel unfamiliar to come and, you know, say like, I'm struggling in this area. Can we just chat about it? Or give me a one-liner of something I need to know. MandyGill.com is where you can reach out to me for everything speaking engagement wise. There's podcasts on there that you can find in Apple, you name it. And any way that I can be of support, I'm here.
Thank you, Mandy. A lot of good things we went over today. So appreciate your time on this.
Thanks.
Okay. Have a good one. I'll talk to you later. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.